Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Blind Level Tech. My name is Jonathan Price. I am the podcast producer, the voiceover guru, the volunteer, whatever, you name it. I can do it here at Audio Information Network of Colorado. Welcome to this crazy train we are calling BLT, Blind Level Tech. Good Lord. Evan, how's it going, buddy? This is my co-host, Evan Starnes. Evan, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had some coffee this morning, so I'm a little bit more energetic than I normally would be, but I'm really looking forward to diving right into this episode. This is going to be a really fun show. It is going to be a bit of a crazy train, but it's going to be a blast, and there's going to be a lot of fun things in the works.
Yeah, how's your week going? Anything exciting happening this week so far?
You know, my week is pretty bland and pretty average. I'd like to say some exciting things like, yeah, I'm going to, Florida or somewhere next, this week. But no, I'm just kind of hanging in there, going to work, going to school. Didn't really do anything super extravagant at all, but can't complain.
Nice. Yeah, we did find out that we are going to the IAIS convention in Columbus.
It's in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, yeah. So, we'll be trapped in a hotel room together, so that'll be fun.
Oh, it'll be fun, but we'll be not necessarily for Blind Level Tech, but I'm sure I'm going to be doing some audio recording because that's my game. I love recording stuff. It is a blast to me.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
I'm hoping it gets bigger because apparently over the last couple of years, it's been pretty small just due to COVID and stuff.
And even then, when it was small, it was still a decent size. Like we stayed last summer. We had the IAIS convention in Iowa. I forget exactly where it was, but it was a nice, really fancy hotel, and the conference room that we had was pretty large and pretty packed, which was pretty. I think it was pretty awesome. But we went to a baseball game and
nice.
Unfortunately,
Iowa. Was it a farm league team or were professional team or I didn't think Iowa had any professional teams.
They didn't, but I forget who was playing.
Oh, just kind of like a farm league.
No, it was actually some teams out of state, but they were playing at a stadium. I forget what stadium, but they had a fireworks show afterwards.
Nice.
And music and. Yeah, and I think I remember that night I was up pretty late. Oh, my gosh.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be IAIS convention is in June. June. So we'll be out there. So if you guys are all listening and you happen to be there, come look us up. We'll have a conversation and try to get you on the show. So that'll be a lot of fun. Evan. This is a tech show.
Yes, indeed.
And there's not a whole lot of blind tech shows out there right now. And go ahead and tell our audience kind of what our show is going to be about, why we're doing what we're doing, and I'll kind of fill in the gaps or I'll jump in as needed. But what is BLT? What are we trying to do with this show specifically?
So this show is really going to be centered around, obviously, technology of different kinds. So we're going to start out first, with the basics, setting up your phone, especially it's really going to be centered around, let's say, you just went blind and you have literally no idea what a screen reader even is. It's a foreign thing. It's terrifying. And we're basically going to cover a lot of like what a screen, we might show what a screen reader might sound like, or how to turn it on when you first get your phone, or
right.
Basically we're going to just show you how to use technology just like anybody else to be a powerful force in the blindness community and in just the world that we live in.
Yeah. And we, you know, we at AINC, we really want to be the cornerstone for blind information, blind networking, blind technologies, you name it. We want to be the cornerstone of that. And so if you guys have any questions or comments or concerns about what we're doing, or you want to give us suggestions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can go to www.aincolorado.org/podcast-guest. And you can submit a form and request a guest, or you can, you know, submit a question, a tech question or whatever. And both Evan and I will get those. And so, you know, leave comments on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. And we want to make sure that we are getting your questions answered in the best way that we possibly can. And because you're going through either you're new to blindness or you've been blind your whole life, it doesn't matter to us. We want to be a cornerstone for you. We want to build you up and we want to give you the best tools possible. Evan, what is your tech background and what are some of the perspectives you have on technology? Because I ain't blind. I'm one of those right. sighted. I am so disabled by my sight that you know, you have a much better perspective, you have a much different perspective than I do. And so I think this will be a very interesting conversation throughout this whole show about, you know, how you see things versus how I see things. And so what are some of your tech perspectives and what's your tech background?
Oh my gosh. So let me first preface this by saying I could talk tech for days, so I'm going to have to really limit it myself just a bit here. So I've been a user of tech products, I mean, since I was a little kid. And I grew up in the 2000s. I was born in 2001, the year that Windows XP came out. And mm-hmm. I don't remember what year macOS came out. But
XP.
That was actually, no, 2001 was, fun fact, one of the, I think that was the first, that was getting close to the first year that macOS had yep. its own screen reader called VoiceOver.
Nice.
Because yep. it used to be... They used to not have it. But so I hadn't really touched a computer until I was like, well, I played around with computers, but not really touched a computer with a screen reader until I was like 8. But so that was really when I started first using actual like tech, like what you think about.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, you know, I was maybe using just basic average stuff like cassette recorders and CD players and the like, which were fine.
Yeah.
And that is considered tech. And I'd started learning how to use like a CD player when I started playing with it in my mom's kitchen at age 2, or maybe it was 3, and I could just barely reach it. And I just started pushing buttons. And I just kind of figured out, oh, this button does this thing on the CD player. And it was just a cause and effect thing. And that's really how I started to dive into just messing with technology. And, but that it kind of just stayed that way for a while. I got my first MP3 player that wasn't accessible, and I didn't even know how to put music on it. I always gave it to my dad, and he would put music on it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a piece of tech, and I figured out how to navigate around the interface, and I memorized
nice.
What buttons you push to get, like
right.
if you wanted to get the radio or whatever.
Yep.
And eventually, I got to use my first screen reader on the computer. And most people, for some seriously experienced blind people, you all will be familiar with the screen reader JAWS for Windows, but that was not the first screen reader I actually used.
Oh, really?
There's a screen reader, and I believe it still is out there, made by a company called Stereotech, and it's, I don't know if they're Stereotech anymore, but it was called System Access, and you used to be able to call them. And what they would do is they would make a little thumb drive, and I still actually have this thumb drive. It,
no way.
It doesn't have anything on it. Yeah, seriously. Little 8 gig thumb drive. It was one of the ones you'd push the thing. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna outtake.
Technical difficulties as Evan derails the conversation as usual.
Yeah, this would be the perfect time to put a train, like a train derailing sound. I can't stand popping. Popping is like when you say something with a P and you hear this thump. I can't. It just happened. Like just now. I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. And
see, this is what happens when you're on a show with a bunch of tech gurus and we hear something that's probably not going to end up showing up in this recording, or maybe I'll just keep all this stuff in because it's funny and it's real life and it's human. But when you have two tech gurus who hear and analyze everything tech, you're going to end up with some of this craziness. So I apologize for all that. We're going to get back right in just a second.
So continuing on. So yeah, it was one of those thumb drives that had, it was like the one you push the button down, you'd pop the USB out. But what was cool about it is you would plug it into any Windows computer. And at the time, pretty much every single computer I was using ran Windows XP because it was the popular computer or popular operating system. And you'd plug the thumb drive in and wait a few seconds. And then you'd get this text-to-speech voice. It's called DeckTalk. And it's a text-to-speech voice that's been around both in a hardware form and as a software since the 80s. It's very old. But you'd get this text-to-speech voice and it'd say, like, loading system access, please wait. And then you hear this cool little space sound. And eventually it would fire up system access. And what annoyed me about this screen reader, and I could not figure out how to turn it off, is it would blow everything up on the screen and turn on magnification. But it did enable me to use any computer I wanted. And that was the cool part. Like, nice. I didn't have to have my own computer because I could just plug it into the school computers and plug in a pair of headphones and boom.
Right.
And at the time, they didn't really have a login. Like all the school computers, you could just, you know, hop on anyone and go do whatever you wanted.
But yeah, security has sure beefed up since
a while. Oh, it sure has beefed up. So big time.
What are some of your perspectives around technology and where we're going in this technology field?
I'm really honestly very optimistic about where we're going. I think a lot of with artificial intelligence, I mean, some people are scared by it. I think it's great because it will make things like, well, image recognition, for instance, and or when it comes to self-driving vehicles, it'll make that a lot more possible.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see where it's going. And now we have things like in the Pro models of iPhone, the iPhone 12 Pro, 12 Pro Max, and later you have a LiDAR camera.
Dude, I'm so excited for LiDAR some of this technology.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I am very excited.
Like some of the, instead of going to the GPS, we're talking now about like visual positioning systems, which are going to be absolutely amazing. And hopefully we'll have Mike May, who does some of that kind of stuff. Hopefully we'll have him on the show, but he's a friend of Penn Street. And if you don't know Penn Street, she is the host of Aftersight. So go check that
and
show out.
And if you haven't listened to Aftersight, check it out. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So that's cool. Yeah. So for me, like some of these, I just want cool tech. I want to demo cool tech. I think technology, it's been interesting over the last 3 years with the pandemic and being what it was, it forced technology to better itself and it forced programmers to better themselves right out of the gate because, you know, we had to keep the world turning. We had to keep the things going. We had to still have meetings. We still had to run corporations and businesses. And the ability for technology to allow us to now work from home and even doing like this show, I mean, we wouldn't have been able to do several years ago. And so I think it's just so crazy that now we can record high quality audio over the internet and we can be completely different places all over the world and not have to worry about being in a physical studio together and have great audio. So I think that's something that's super cool.
That's a good point. And that's one of the, I believe, one of the silver linings of the pandemic is that a lot of this technology would not have existed. For instance, today, as we're recording this, it is nasty cold outside.
Yeah.
I don't want to, take the 35-minute Uber all the way to Boulder just so I can, do work. I can literally just, wake up nice and late, sleep in, have my coffee, run downstairs and log into my laptop and access my computer completely from the laptop via Windows Remote Desktop. I have access to everything. It's as if I'm just sitting at the office. And even the platform we're using, Squadcast, is pretty amazing because it may sound, the acoustics, fortunately, down here where I'm recording are pretty good. I'm just literally sitting in my basement and talking at this microphone, and it sound, it's decent.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think what you said about tech demos is actually really a good segue into the next thing I think we could talk about, which is tech demos, in fact, and what to expect.
Yeah.
If I didn't say this before, I am a tech guru, but I'm also an audiophile or audio nut, as is Jonathan. And I absolutely enjoy and love demonstrating things, just demonstrating pieces of tech, demonstrating software. So you're going to see some of that. You might even get to hear some good juicy binaural recordings. And binaural basically sounds like as if it was recorded from the human ear, and you can hear everything in front of and behind and on the left and right side. It's just really, think of it as really like ridiculously high quality recording. So you're going to hear some of that. You're going to hear a lot of, maybe, for lack of a better term, ASMR, like when I'm demoing a tech product, you'll get to hear all of the sounds that this thing makes and what it, what it sounds like in an average room. And I'll even show you how the app works. You'll get some recordings of using the app with voiceover on the iPhone.
We'll make sure that everything is audio described for you so that you can get a sense for what's going on, not only hearing the beeps and clicks and all that kind of stuff, but we'll describe to you in as much detail as we possibly can, device size, what they look like, what they feel like, what they sound like. So we'll make sure that we've got you all taken care of.
Absolutely. And you should, at the end of the demo, be able to have a full visualization of the device that is being demonstrated, how it works. And you should, if we're doing it right, you should be able to get this device, set it up, and be more confident than you otherwise would be.
Yeah, I can't wait for some of those tech demos. There's some really cool things that are out there, and we may not do them every week, but you can count on at least once a month having a tech demo that we're trying out, or that we like, either a cooking device or a iPhone update or something like that we can very easily describe to you guys. Evan, for those of you out there who don't know, Evan is blind. I am sighted. We joked about that earlier, but Evan, tell us a little bit about briefly about your blindness journey and kind of what your diagnosis was and kind of how you live life right now.
Okay. So I've been blind since birth. I was diagnosed at about 6 or 8 months. I think it was like 6 months, with a condition known as Leber's congenital amaurosis. I don't know too much about it. It will affect your peripheral and central vision. Mm-hmm. It kind of comes in different shapes and sizes, though. So I was blessed with light perception, and I found out just recently, I can't believe I didn't figure this out, that I can see some limited color. I never trusted myself with it, but that's kind of the cool part. But Leber's congenital amaurosis, it can cause your vision to deteriorate over time, similar to other conditions such as retinitis pigmentosa,
right,
which is another relatively common condition I've seen. Mm-hmm. And that has happened in the form of cataracts, but I'm hoping to get those bad boys removed the summertime. And it has affected my light perception. Like I said, some people might be born with more vision. In fact, they have. They might be able to see for a bit of their life. They might be able to see like shapes, or they might be able to see just they might only have peripheral vision, or
nice.
I only have like central vision. Like I can see like a bit of a shadow, but it's only when things are directly in front of me and it's right. about a foot away. And
sure.
it varies from day to day, probably because of the cataracts.
Gotcha. So you think that removing the cataracts may actually improve the vision?
Well, the eye doctor I visited a couple of weeks ago said no, but I know my eyes better than he knows my eyes. Yeah, he can scan them all he wants for 2 hours, which was not fun, by the way.
No, I can imagine
but
not.
It will let more light in, and that's really what I want, because I used to be able to see like little blinky flashy LED lights. And
okay.
That was helpful, especially when it came to setting up like TV remotes and Bluetooth keyboards. Like I could gotcha. See the light when it was on. Okay. And I'd like to be able to get that back, and I think I nice. Will. And even if I don't, there are other ways around that.
Okay. Very cool. So you're in college now. Where are you? Are you at
Front Range Community Front Range. College for the time being.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm just kind of seeing how it goes. I originally wanted to get a degree in computer information systems because that was the closest thing for me to IT, because I wanted to be one of those IT folks that hops around and fixes people's computers. But then a semester later, I really came to the realization that I'd rather not deal with people's problems every day of my career. It would make me miserable. And I had already had, I was very blessed to be granted an internship at the good old Audio Information Network
of Colorado
back in 2021. Oh, man. And I worked with Alex, our senior tech. I forget what her full job title is, but she's the senior tech. Like she's the expert in all tech, social media, broadcasting, podcasting, all of it, you name it. Yep. And so she trained me. And so I got to get into, making a broadcast and setting up the playlist. And the playlist is basically just what plays at what time for how long. And that's basically it. And I got to edit a lot of volunteers' audio and help volunteers improve their quality. And I was like, hey, I really like this. This is actually fun and it's work. I'm getting experience out of it.
Yeah.
So I worked that bad boy for a long time. I think I started, I had kind of an internship when I was at the Colorado Center for the Blind and it kind of went bust because they were a little annoyed when I was missing classes to go to my internship. So then I started another one after I graduated, and I worked that in from July all the way to October. So I basically worked like half a year to get where I am now. And I'm very blessed and very happy to be where I am now. And I started college in 2021, and I did that the computer information systems degree because I was still kind of set on IT.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like a semester later, I was like, this stinks. Let's change it up. So I changed it to a recording arts degree. And I'm just kind of seeing how it goes because I've already got a couple of years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's been more of a fight than it's worth. I've been having to fight for accessible music theory classes. And music theory can be made accessible, but it's the way the instructors teach it and the fact that they aren't really doing anything. Yep. There's going to come a point at the end of this year where I really have to make a hard decision of would I rather continue with this college and constantly fighting for accessible classes for this degree, or would I rather just go full time and get more job experience? And I could learn. I don't know how we got to this point, but I'm very passionate about this. I don't even learn very well. I can learn in an academic setting, but I learn better through discovery. And that's actually really how I learned what I know now. So,
well, that works really well with my next question. Where do you see technology going in the next few years? I mean, you're going to be, finishing up college, you're going to be making some transitions. And, I believe that, technology, we used to think that technology was, not going to go very far, 20 years ago, and like, oh my goodness, this is the latest and greatest. How in the world could we ever get better? Well, we say that today.
We have.
And, one of my favorite things is like, Star Trek. Well, I thought it was some crazy stat, like 70, 80, 90%, somewhere in there. I mean, that's a large 30% span, but I don't care. That's a huge amount of technology that single show influenced and what we have today. I mean, iPads came directly from that show, Star Trek. And not to mention our touch systems and, you know, Hey Siri is now part of, shut up, Siri. My Siri just went off.
Very good. I was expecting that.
That was great. But beautiful, things like that, you know, on Star Trek, they're saying, hey, computer, turn the music down 10% or whatever. I wish that when you would say that and you would say, reduce music by 10% or, you know, by a percentage, I wish that they would do that. So Apple, if you're listening, please do that, because that would be so awesome. Instead of, you know, turn down the music, you know, turn it down by this number. Anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I will say Amazon has already kind of beat Apple as far as weak words, because I can address the little orb looking thing on my desk by computer. And I can talk to it.
Nice.
And I mean, it's amazing what you can do with these little guys.
Oh yeah.
They have this. I mean, this thing just does so much more than I thought it would do. You know, it used to be when the original Amazon Echo came out in 2014. You know, it was good for the weather, playing music, maybe some limited home control, but it wasn't that capable. And now you have like hundreds of thousands of skills. And for those who don't know, those are basically like apps and or capabilities, like games. I have now we will have a tech demo of this in the future. I have these little devices called Govee devices, and they monitor the temperature and humidity in three different locations. So I can literally just say, like, what's the humidity of upstairs, or what's the humidity of the basement? And it will give me alerts, and you can just do so much with these. And even on the Echo Show, they have a kind of janky feature, but it's still cool, called Show and Tell. And what it does is it uses the camera, and I think what they really need is a better camera on those things, personally.
Right. But
it uses the camera to read barcodes and or text on certain products, and it will tell you what is in front of the device. And it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
But I see, to answer your question originally, like, yeah, Star Trek basically is the reason I'm probably holding a rectangular iPhone slab in my pocket. But I see more... I see a lot more augmented reality. So
yeah,
AR glasses, I am a little wary of it just because I don't want to see more tech zombies out. We already got enough phone zombies as it is. And I think people really need to put the device down and see what's in the real world first. And there needs to be a balance. But I'm hoping to see a lot more evolutions with augmented reality. What I'm really hoping is to see the LiDAR technology, like in these pro model iPhones, get cheaper, because once that's cheaper, what AR is able to do is see what is around the device and what the room looks like, and you can map things out with it. In fact, my girlfriend Valerie has a vacuum, which I would like to demonstrate at some point, and it's actually got this little thing on the top that spins around, and it uses LiDAR to map out her house. And it's pretty cool, because you can just say, that's clean cool. room two, and it'll just drive to that room and clean it, and then drive itself back to the docking station, which is a clean
that's
dock.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it turns around and it vacuums out the dustbin, and then it turns around and it charges itself, and it says cute little cheeky voice messages while it does it. I mean, it is a blast.
So kind of like the Roombas.
Yeah, it is like the Roombas. In fact, it looks very similar to a Roomba. And
nice.
Roomba has a similar tech. They actually do make a vacuum with the same cleaning base. I don't know if it has LiDAR. I know it has a camera, but this is basically just a competitor. Yeah.
You know, it won't be long before you have a visor like Jordy LaForge.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be able to send the radio wave or the frequencies through your brain so that you can see something.
That would be cool. In fact, they've been already playing around with that technology. Gosh, Jonathan, you make me segue so well.
I know. I'm sorry. That's a whole other show.
You're good
for
at the segues.
Time. Dude, we are. I know. This is going to be a huge problem for us during the course of this entire show. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a pause. We're going to close out this show. Evan, is there something that you want our listeners to know, or what your favorite tech is so far, before we head out?
What I really want users and listeners to know is, when you get a new piece of tech, don't be intimidated by it. It may look big and scary, but the best way to learn something from my experiences is to just dive right in. And
good call.
Yeah, it's a good idea to check out user guides and that's and tutorials. But if the best way to learn like VoiceOver on the iPhone is just to start using it day to day.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, my favorite tech so far is basically any audio gear. I'm an audio gear junkie. I love audio tech. And so there's some cool things that are happening with AI. I don't really appreciate AI for music creation processes, but I think it's a cool technology because, I mean, now we're getting into art and we're getting into, you know, things that are no longer human and you've lost the human creative aspect of it. So, but there's some cool technology things that are happening in music. And so that's really my, I love technology and touchscreens and all that kind of stuff. So if you have any questions, again, please reach out to myself or Evan at aincolorado.org or Jonathan, Jonathan at aincolorado.org. Please take a listen to our other shows, Aftersight, Blindsight,
and topic of the month, which is probably going to get a new name.
Which we are getting a new name because that's a mouthful. And now you are listening to Blind Level Tech, the newest creation from Audio Information Network of Colorado. Again, if you have any comments, questions, please visit aincolorado.org/podcast-guests. We have a ton of shows. We have a whole bunch of different reading services on there. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Evan, it was fun. We'll talk to you later.
All right, sounds good.